everybody, and welcome back to another episode of In Phase, the Cycle Syncing Podcast.
My name is Lauren Cortizo.
And mine is Robin Dipovic.
And In Phase is a podcast, a community, and a space for women who are passionate about all phases of their bodies, their cycles, and their lives.
And their lives. Lauren, how is your life going? It's a Saturday morning in LA.
Yes.
You're in Brentwood right now. I'm in Highland Park. We're doing a little long distance recording for anyone who is perhaps watching on YouTube. By the way, we are on YouTube. If anyone feels the need to see our faces the whole time, we also have video on Spotify. But yeah. How is your morning going?
Morning is good. Morning is good. This week I was in Miami for 40 hours.
Oh my God. I did see that you put the sweetest little photo dump on Instagram, and it was very uncharacteristic of you. Cause it's a lot of, I saw it was late night. I saw a martini.
Yeah.
I saw a cutie little mirror selfie, and I was like, Whoa, we don't usually get to get graced with this kind of Instagram presence from you. So talk to me.
This is true. And this is what happens when you do an overnight without your child. This is what happens. So it was so fun because Gabe got booked at this show in Miami. It's like this like beautiful theater in Miami Beach. And this like doesn't happen often. But like usually like if he books a show, they'll fly him out. They stay in a hotel. But this was like a nice hotel.
Hell yeah.
So, and they offered to fly me out. So I was like, yeah, let's go. So we planned a situation where Carmen stayed with her grandma. And Gabe and I flew to Miami on Wednesday. We got there at 4 p.m. We like landed. I instantly was like on calls. Gabe goes to the theater to warm up. He does his show. It was so good. And then we had that night and the next day. And then we're flying out the next morning. So it was like jam-pack everything in. So it was so fun. That night, my aunt and uncle, who like are in their 60s, who live in Miami, they're like true Miami Cubans. They came to the show. The show wrapped at 10:30 and they were like, we want to take you to dinner. And I was like, it's late. Like, it's okay. They're like, no. Like we need to like bring you to like the world's most famous Cuban restaurant. If you're here, we have to bring you.
Oh,
so it was so cute. So, like they drove us through Miami, brought us to Versailles, this like famous Cuban restaurant. We got Cuban sandwiches, got pastelitos, got home by like 1 a.m. And the next morning we just like went to the beach, ate ceviche, went to a steakhouse. It was so nice and so crazy to not have child. Like, I'm so used to us just like juggling logistics. And it was like, it was awesome. It was like a magical little vacation that we didn't even really know we were going to have.
And it turned out to be paid.
Paid.
That is like the money moment right there, quite literally. Like, the fact that you're getting away. You have a village too. So like the fact that Carmen can go to her grandma's, that's incredible. You bop down to Miami on someone else's dime, have a great time with your husband, bop back. Do you miss Carmen when you're away like that? Or is it, and obviously like you always miss your child, but is it like, Oh my God, I need to get back to her. I'm like at the beach looking at pictures of her. Or are you like, no, I'll take this 40 hours. I'm good.
Both.
Yeah.
And that like, I found myself looking at photos of her like every 15 minutes. But at the same time, it was so nice to be like, okay, what do we want to do? And like not have to think about like any logistics.
Yeah.
So it was great. And it's fun in that like she was staying with Gabe's parents and she is with them like 3 days a week. So yeah. I'm not worried about like how she's doing, if she's feeling comfortable, if she's going to sleep. Like she's like very comfy there. So it wasn't like if it's a new babysitter or something, I think the whole time I'm a little bit like, she okay? Everyone cool?
Oh,
is everyone vibing? Whereas this was like, oh, she's in good hands. We can rock and roll. So it was awesome. And it was like such a fun thing too, where it was in the middle of the week. So like I took off a Thursday.
Yeah.
And then I worked both travel days. And it was kind of nice because it was like power through the Wednesday. And then to have like a random Thursday off, and then you get back in and like dive in on Friday. But then you have the weekend still greeting you.
Yeah.
It was really lovely. So I'm feeling very... Honestly, I'm like, all that, I feel like I have so much energy now.
Oh.
I feel like I was so like revived by having my 40 hours.
Oh my God, I am so happy to hear that. So happy to hear that. Guys, for those of you, Lauren and I have in-phase meetings every week on Monday evenings. And we met this Monday and it was one of those meetings where you could just tell that someone is like, either needs a vacation, needs to rest, a lot going on, busy with work. And Lauren is typically like the most effervescent, high energy, smiley person ever. And you could just tell there was something like a little bit, it's like, this girl needs a fucking break. And yeah, she got her break.
Got a break.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that. That's amazing.
Thank you. I feel very grateful. Very grateful.
You're kind of giving like beach energy right now too, with this like silk bandana that you have wrapped around your head and the braids. It's very much so like island culture, cool girl, don't have a care in the world. You seem like you still have a child in childcare right now by the look of you. And I love that.
No, I love that. Yeah, I was reminded in Miami, like from like a fashion POV, it's so fun. Everyone has like their silk scarves and their headpieces, yeah. Which I was like reminded of, oh, love this. And then also it's actually funny, this morning I was on my For You page and I came across this influencer who posted a carousel, and the first image in the carousel was like trends I absolutely hate.
Is it silk scarves?
And the first one was like bandanas, and I was like,
too bad. Love them.
I was like, already yep. Not on my team.
I love them. Here's the thing about a silk scarf. You can wear it as a shirt. You can wear it around your neck. You can wear it in your hair. You can wear it to cover up greasy hair. Tie it around the ponytail. Tie it around the bun if you want to be French. You can tie it around your bag. You can use it as your bag. 100%. Tie it around your waist. Silk scarves are like the most utilitarian, cool girl purchase that you can possibly have.
Couldn't agree more. And especially when you're traveling, because they're small. You can like to me, they're the best like travel accessory. But I will say, so this post, so it said silk scarves, and I was like, already mad, but what else do you have for me? And the next thing was like bloomer pants. And I'm like, I could go either way, but I think you're wrong.
Scroll. Are bloomer again. Pants like the short girl pants that like look like underwear bloomers from like the 1800s?
They're like big, but then they kind of like go down like towards the ankle, which I'm like,
I need to look this up. I'm not familiar.
Bloomer pants. And I was like, scroll again. It was graphic tees. And I was like, what? Where are we talking about?
Like,
what are we talking about? Scroll again. Mary Jane's. And the comment said it was Mary Jane's, and then she wrote, what is this, school? And I was like, this girl is
trying. Wait, so she's saying you can only wear Mary Jane's to school? But I also really like that comment. What is this, school?
What is this, school? And I scroll again, and she's wearing an outfit with all of those things.
Okay.
And I was like, this girl, I think, earned a follow from me.
Honestly, the rage bait to the click-through there and the full carousel scroll-through, that's genius marketing. So we should reach out to her and see if she wants to help out on the pod, because that's nice.
She was brilliant.
I like that thinking. Also, yeah. You're giving me inspo for what I want to wear later today. Okay, so this is what I have going on today. It's actually a very fun day.
Ooh.
Earlier in the week, my friend Kate reached out to me, and she was like, if anyone doesn't remember Kate, she's the one I got food poisoning with in Cabo a few weeks ago. Oh, by the way, was going back and forth with Nobu Cabo. I'm saying it out loud for everyone to hear. And don't say that I'm blasting you guys on my giant podcast. Nobu Cabo. Remember, we got food poisoning. They were doing maintenance at like 4 a.m. Half the hotel was under construction. All of these things.
Yeah.
Their concierge service, which is part of the process there, was closed for us. Refused to do anything for us after like 4 emails of being like, guys, come on, this is crazy, help. And they sent back like the most like condescending, yucky response. So you've made an enemy for life out of me, dude. And I'm going to get in there and be a little Google review warrior.
There you go.
I did not enjoy my experience, and I'm telling my podcast about it. But all that to say, it's in the past, it's fine. But Kate hit me up earlier this week. She was like, hey, do you want to go to this Red Bull soapbox racing event downtown on Saturday? Wait, you're nodding. Do you know what this is?
No, totally. This has been like coming up in conversation a ton, because everyone's like, it's happening in downtown LA.
Oh my God. I just was like, sure. I mean, I'm the biggest yes girl, which is like a blessing and a curse for me. I'm just like, yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about, but it sounds fun.
Yeah.
And so I go home and tell Harry, and I was like, hey, I think we're going to do this like soap derby box thing for Red Bull. He's like, are you talking about the Red Bull soap box derby? And I was like, why does everyone know what this is? So what is it? It's cars that like go down a hill that people built and they like explode along the way, is what Kate said. She was like, we got to get a good seat down at the end of the hill, because that's where you have the view of the cars like falling apart.
Out about it this it's year so, being in downtown.
I was just so shocked. I was like, yeah, sounds fun. And then of course my like very male partner was like, yeah, fucking sick car races, build it yourself.
Is he going?
Yeah, he's going with
vibe.
Yeah. So we're doing that right after this. And then, you know, Matt Miller, we have another friend, just name dropping people all over. I like to name drop people on the pod because then I get to know if they actually listen to the episode.
It's a test.
Because if you heard yourself, you would say something.
Yep.
So Matt, we'll see if you're listening. He usually does listen, which is great, I think. By the way, allyship for men and gay men, especially who aren't going to have a female partner listening to the podcast about women's reproductive health and cycle syncing and period health, go off. We love you guys. Is an entrepreneurial brain and very creative. He's like always painting. He just started a Substack called Mutual Interest. Everyone should go listen to that or read it. Sorry. It's hysterical. It's a really beautiful, witty social commentary on just like pop culture. And he, in his downtime, is starting a small batch limoncello business. So he's hosting a limoncello launch party at his house later today. It's called Goose Juice, and I am just absolutely thrilled, and I can't wait.
Wait, what's it called? Loose Juice?
Goose Juice.
Goose Juice. Wait, yeah, that's
everyone,
so cool.
Go follow Goose Juice on social, and then Mutual Interest Substack for Matt Miller. You won't regret it, but I'm stoked. A limoncello launch party? Okay. After
so
a
you're
Red
going from
Bulldogs Derby race? Okay.
I was going to say, I feel like you have a fantastic Saturday planned. Okay, so yeah, wait. So what do you wear that you can do?
I hope so. That's the question. Maybe a silk scarf. Because as I'm going full curly hair today, and I feel like rocking what you're doing might be a cool, like, oh, I'm a cool girl vibe today. I can float between soapbox derby racing and limoncello parties.
Heck yeah. Love
I'll
that.
I'll report back on the fit. But as we know, very important.
It is very much, very much so. Love that. And how was the week?
Week was good. What do I have? I mean, just busy. You and I are talking a lot about like how we're just busy right now. And that's a good thing. That's always a good thing. What a privilege to be busy, in my opinion. But Harry and I are going to Lisbon in about 3 weeks because we're going on a big wedding planning trip. So we're going to Lisbon. We're meeting with our wedding planners for 5 days. And then since we're over there, we're adding on another stop, which is Mallorca. And I've never been to Mallorca, but I studied abroad in Spain when I was in college. So I love, love, love Spain and Spanish culture and Spanish food and the Spanish language. So I am so stoked about that. But I'm also really excited to go do this wedding planning trip because as a type A individual trying to plan a wedding abroad and just look at venues online and try to like scour details of corners and how does this feel? How big is the space? It's really difficult. So we're like going to tour places for like welcome parties and the pool party afterwards and like the hotel blocks and getting ready spaces and stuff like that. And then like place for the rehearsal dinner. So I'm really excited. I think it's just going to be like a very fun, like meaningful trip. I think it's going to be such a special trip. So I'm really, really stoked about that.
That is awesome. So what does it look like 3 weeks out? Are you thinking about, I guess, did you figure out like Bruce Care? Are you thinking about
Bruce Care
planner?
Honestly, my whole focus has been on the Mallorca side of it because we are not planning the Lisbon trip at all because our planners are. We basically just have the days blocked off and they are going to give the itinerary for like when we're doing, for instance, I'll be doing like hair and makeup trials and then we'll go and visit this pool and then we'll go to this, then we'll go to the production company that does all like the draping and the tablescapes and stuff like that. So here's what I need to do is in advance, get like my deck together for all of the different sections of this, because I obviously want to come in with a visual and talk everyone through. All right, here's the vibe. Here's the style. Yeah. Here's the flow. Here's the color palette.
Yeah.
Here's the energy we want to imbue with this stationery. I am going to be a psychopath, but you know what? Girl loves design. Okay. Creative brain means really, really like type A is scary, but effective.
Very effective. Do you have like, can you give me 3 words that you want the wedding to embody?
Yes. Yes, I can. I would say, well, some of these are hyphenates. Okay.
Okay.
Euro chic.
Mm-hmm.
This is a three word hyphenate, but let me just go with it.
I'm with you.
Cool girl party.
Great.
Lux
vibe.
I want it to just be like a really, I want it to feel like a cool New York party, but in Europe with everyone in tuxes. And I want people to walk out like oh, that was the best party that I ever went to, but also just a really chic vibe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I love it. Is it going to be like black tie?
It's going to be black tie optional. Cool. It's going to be black tie optional. Don't worry. I already have an entire Pinterest board that is guest attire inspo, but you'll crush. So I'm really like, I'm just like not concerned about that.
Thank you.
But yeah, I want it to be just like big, bright colors, drama for people. Like picture like men in tuxes and then women in like bright orange dresses with like feather bottoms or like several layers of sequins in like a bright emerald green. Like I want the goal for all the women to be like, how do I show up the bride? How do I show up the bride? You know?
Like, amazing.
Go off, go big, or go home, okay?
So great. So great.
But I'm starting, now that it's a year away as opposed to 2 years away from when we got engaged, since we got engaged last April, it's now actually starting to feel real, which is so fun. Whereas before it was like, it's going to be in a couple of years. I'm really not worried about it. Now it's like, oh, shit, okay, it's coming up. And I can start to get, like, actually excited about it, which is so fun.
Totally. How are you feeling about the dress that you showed me?
I'm still feeling good about it. But of course, like the farther away you get from something, I think I'm like, wait, was it that magical? But then I'm just like, no, it is. What I need to do though is go back and try it on again and do like do measurements and just like do the second gut check about it. But I'm still feeling good. But what I've heard is that once you find it, you have to stop looking at other dresses like on the internet or anything, because you'll just drive yourself nuts. Mm. You found your dress It was the first dress you tried on at a sample sale by yourself, wasn't it?
It was the second dress I tried on. I went to one store.
That's crazy. I'm on my 10th.
I went to one store.
This is also the difference between me and you, and being very type A and like type B, cool, chill, relaxed girl. I've got like spreadsheets and you're like, let me pop in this store. I want to get quiet.
I also, the one thing though I do regret about it is that I didn't get to like go wedding dress shopping with my mom.
Yeah.
Because I think there was this sample sale, so I was like, I should go because it's a sample sale. And I went with two friends, and I was like, there's no way I'm going to find the wedding dress. And then literally I pulled four dresses. It was the second one I tried on. I think it was the first one I pulled. Actually, you're right. It's the first I pulled. And I was like, ooh, it's perfect. I was like, oh no.
Was she upset? Or was she like disappointed that she didn't get to go with you?
She was bummed. She was very supportive and so happy that I found it. And I, of course, FaceTimed her, but she was definitely bummed, which I totally understand. And now that I have a daughter, I'm like, oh, now I really get it. Like,
like the thought of her like doing very quintessential rite of passages. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
totally.
It was funny because my dad listens to the podcast. Hey, Dad, speaking of men supporting women. Hey, Dad. And he texted me this week and he goes, so can I see a picture? And I was like, no. No, Dad.
That's really cute.
He was very cute. He just sent back as he was like, okay, I get it, with a sad face. But you have a first look with your dad, you know?
Totally.
So it's like, or many people do. And that's what I would like to do. I'd love to do like a first look like with my dad and my brothers, because I'm very close with my brothers. They're my besties. But I was like, no, it's going to be so much cooler in person in Europe than it is right now at a dimly lit photo selfie from a bridal shop. You know what I mean?
No, totally. I will say though, when I went to text you this week, I forgot that your photo was in the text thread, and I fully gasped again. It's so good.
I love it. That's so good. I need to get out of my own head about it, because I think you can second guess yourself into anything, especially when 100%. Especially it is my kryptonite when people say especially as opposed to especially, by the way.
Yeah. Yep.
Along with espresso.
Is this the espresso?
Especially,
yeah.
And it is espresso. But especially when there is such a wide variety of choice available to us, like on the internet, in every TikTok I see is all bridal stuff, and I need to just like shield my eyes from it.
It's real. That's real.
Still loving it. Okay, but speaking of family members listening to the pod, I have a correction to make from our episode last week. So
if you
remember, I talked about Uncle Mark and Aunt Ellen. And Uncle Mark, who passed out at his own wedding. And I was assuming it's because he was nervous, because he loves Alan so much and it's a very big experience. That morning, 8:17 a.m. is a text I get from Alan the day our podcast launches that week.
First of all, Go, Ellen. Thanks for listening.
This is such an early morning listen. I feel like you're turning it on immediately on Tuesday when it launches. Thank you. Thank you for
the dangerous way to start the day, if you ask me. But
that is some support right there. This is the text. It doesn't even have a greeting. It just goes, 8:17 a.m. Tuesday. The fainting had more to do with cutting off the circulation in your legs when you kneel. He never fell over. We propped him up on the kneeler. Heart, heart, heart.
Wait, why was he?
I was like, he went down. I had that wrong. I was picturing him absolutely going down. So it was about circulation from kneeling in a Catholic church. Those masses are long. And he did not go fully down. And I need to respect Uncle Mark. And I mean to make that correction.
Wow. Well, Uncle Mark, we apologize on behalf of InFace. And a way to be a man of God, Uncle Mark.
We are a big old Irish Catholic family, let me tell you. I will not be having a Catholic wedding, and I think that's probably apparent to everyone as we created a podcast that's made around the phases of the moon. So, but I respect everyone's choice, and it was a fun way to grow up.
Oh, my God. Love it.
Should we dive into it?
Yes. Okay, before we even jump into our first segment, though, which phase are you in?
Okay. I'm going to tell
you.
We
were synced for a while.
But I know our timelines are usually different.
So where are we at?
Now we're unsynced now, though. I am still in my luteal phase. Deep in my luteal phase. Because I know you had your period this week, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I would love to get my period. I'm at that point where I really deeply feel my luteal phase so much. And I've just been, like, melancholy and irritable and, like, doing the thing that we always do, like questioning all my choices and whatnot this week. So I am just ready to start bleeding and to move on with my life and to move back into a happier state of being where everything doesn't seem like the most existential question that I've ever faced every single day. Do you know what I mean?
100%. 100% know what you mean.
Yep.
Okay. That's real. And that's real.
Are you in your menstrual cycle?
I think this is day one follicular. It actually makes sense, which is why I feel so energetic today. Partially Miami, and now I'm like, wrapped up yesterday. So
that I'm so anytime follicular. Someone says they're in their follicular phase, I'm just like, ooh, I'm so jealous. That moment, that day that you wake up, which is today for you, where like, yeah. I'm ready to go, I'm a normal person again.
So true. Awesome. All right.
Living that for me. I can't wait to see you there soon.
I'll meet you here. We're waiting.
We had a really funny submission last week for Luteal Made Me Do It. Those of you who don't know, we are doing a segment every week, at least one of these, where we're taking listener submissions of women who are telling us the kookiest thing that they've done in their luteal phase. And I have been loving getting these, whether it's voice notes from friends, comments on social. This is a comment on our Spotify from Ashley Day. Shout out, Ashley. And I read this and I was like, oh my God. And this is what she had to say. Okay. So now I know that fasting is not healthy during your fertile cycling years, especially during your luteal phase. By the way, you guys, this is true. We can do an episode on this, but I try to stay away from fasting. Anyway, however, when I first started fasting, I decided to try a 24-hour fast during my luteal phase, also while moving from one home to another. I was so emotional, cranky, and irritable. I found myself in my new home, in my closet, on the floor, crying. I decided to break my fast and immediately felt better, like nothing was wrong. It's like, oh my God. Yeah.
That's intense. Especially because you need more calories during that phase. That's like the one.
Your body is like, feed me, because it's preparing to menstruate. So you need extra energy, extra calories, extra nourishment. So if you're fasting during your luteal phase, and also how cranky we get when we're fasting anyway, compared, and then couple that with the fact that you have like no estrogen, no serotonin. I like fear this experience. Right. I'm surprised she didn't just like burn the house to the ground, to be honest.
Just to say, but then, and then right, all of that. And then you're moving. Moving is the most stressful thing. No matter how prepared you are, moving is the worst.
Oh God, the absolute worst. Oh God, yeah. When I moved into this apartment, or not into this house from my old apartment, the moving crew that I hired didn't bring a big enough van, so they just didn't pack up half my stuff and then like left that as my problem. They're like, it doesn't fit. It's like, okay, so I feel like this is a you guys job thing to solve. So moving sucks regardless.
It's the worst.
On top of fasting and on top of luteal, Ashley, I'm happy for you. Thank you for sharing, and I'm glad you made it out alive.
Yeah, Ashley, I'm happy you're with us still. And thanks for listening. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing.
And you guys, please continue to tell, drop a comment in on Apple, on Spotify, on YouTube, send it to us on social, DM it to us. We love hearing these, and we're going to continue to just have at least one or two every episode.
So great. So great.
Okay. So let's get into what we're talking about today. Lauren, do you want to kick us off with what the episode is about?
Yeah, absolutely. So this week we are talking about cycle syncing in regards to your career. I think this episode, I've been thinking about it obviously all week as we've been preparing for it, how the idea of cycle syncing for work for me feels like one of the most aspirational things in the world. I've never been able to do this because sometimes I'm just moving so fast, but I love the idea of us pausing and talking about it, because also there are so many things that aren't necessarily work specific, but can actually permeate into other aspects of our lives. So all to say is today we're going to talk about the way our cycles influence a handful of things that can impact our work, but specifically things like how it influences how we think, how we communicate, how we lead, how we create, how we focus, how we socialize, how we recover, how we handle stress. So all of these things that can really pertain to how we approach our work lives, but how we can also approach our lives outside of that too.
I love that. And I love that you've been thinking about it. I think that this is a really aspirational element of cycle syncing. I think like you've hit the creme de la creme if you are able to cycle sync your menstrual cycle to your work style and your work life. One, because it's very cerebral to understand like the nuances of how your brain works and then be able to plan out everything that you have to do for any type of career into just your phases. But then two, we live in a patriarchal society that is dictated by capitalism where we don't get to decide our schedules all of the time. We don't get to decide when we have our reviews. We don't get to decide when we have to hire or fire someone. We don't get to decide when we have to present. At least most of us don't. If you are a woman who is an entrepreneur, who works for yourself, who is autonomous, a freelancer, or someone who only works with women, and you can implement this into your day and into your working style, that is incredible. But I also think the more that we can have this conversation in the workplace with coworkers and be open about this whole idea of removing stigma around removing this TMI about periods and about cycles is only beneficial, not only for women, but for the collective society as a whole. Because if we're working better, society functions better. I've been mentioned several times, very, very lucky to have a boss who also is a man, but is very open to the cycles of the women on his team. And he is acutely aware, and we communicate with him when we're in different phases. So he knows how to kind of navigate that with us. And it is so incredible. But also I realize that is such a crazy privilege that most people don't have.
But yeah, no, it is amazing though. And to your point, I think you're right. It's like, it's such a privilege in general to be able to schedule work lives around our cycle. And then also everyone has different jobs and different careers, and work may look different for all different types of people. Like you and I both work in the marketing space. We spend a lot of time on our computers, answering Slack, sending emails, doing presentation, building decks. Some people are up on their feet all day. Some people are working overnight. Like it looks completely different. So I think like, want to acknowledge like from this POV, like our perspectives are going to be mostly focused in our lives and what we know. But I think it's a really interesting conversation to have. And to your point too, it's like, as we know, systemically, the workspace hasn't been built around catering towards women. But it's cool seeing, I don't know, I'm seeing like newer companies have like PTO for menstruation. I've seen that, like, which is really, really cool. And like acknowledging that in benefits, which is amazing. Yeah. And so to your point, the more we can talk about it, the more we can just raise awareness and then hopefully change how we think about what we need to be able to operate at our best.
Agree. And I think that going to your point about talking about it and opening up dialogue and communication around it, I think that you can do that in small ways that have big impact, even if it's starting in little corners of your working life. Like you and I, for example, have a working partnership on this podcast, and you and I are so open with each other about where we are at in our phases so that one person can pick up the slack when the other person is deep in luteal phase and needs more rest or is irritable or is going to respond better. I think, and with you and I both, I think we can tell when one of us is in our follicular phase, all of a sudden we've got like 17 inboxes or 17 emails that are filling up inboxes. We're planning, we're outlining all of these things. So even opening up communication, if you can, with coworkers or with people that you have small working relationships with, and just have a mutual understanding that there is a difference in our mood throughout the month and thus our working styles, can really be a great place to start.
Love that. Totally agree. Okay, so before we start, maybe we can talk about the framing of this episode.
Yes.
Because we want to make it really clear, while women are not, again, we're not like on a linear path when it comes to our energy and how we operate, because of the fact that our bodies are doing a lot of different things depending on where we are in the month. That's the whole point of why we have this podcast. So we want to make it clear that this episode is not about saying women are less capable, you shouldn't work during certain phases, your hormones control you. That's not what we're trying to do. This episode is really about understanding your nervous system, understanding what's happening with your body hormonally, recognizing patterns, and then working with your biology as opposed to fighting against it. So again, it's always about how can we maximize our strengths that naturally emerge during the phases that we're in, so that we can, again, just optimize our lives and then also give ourselves grace when things are feeling extra challenging.
Amen. Amen, sister. Okay, so let's just do like a quick mini overview of the four phases and what that means from a working style at a very high level, and then we can get into it with a little bit more depth. So we've got the menstrual phase, obviously, days 1 through 7-ish. This is when you have your period. We call this the inward phase. This is when estrogen and progesterone are at their lowest. This is a time for, broadly speaking, reflection, evaluation, intuition, and slowing down. And we'll get into the whys and kind of deep dive on that in the next segment. But then we have the follicular phase. This is the expansion phase. So this is when your estrogen starts to rise. Lauren is in her follicular phase today. She is feeling great, energetic, spicy. She's looking good. She's feeling like herself again. Estrogen is on the rise. But this means that creativity, motivation, innovation, and momentum are starting to increase. So that's something to really pay attention to when you want to turn the gas on at work a little bit. But then you have ovulation, even better. This is the visibility phase. So this is when your estrogen is at its peak, which also means that your confidence, communication, charisma, and outward energy are also at their peak, which obviously this is a great time for presentations. We'll get into the nitty gritty. And then finally, luteal phase. This is where I live right now. This is refinement phase. So your progesterone is rising and then your estrogen is starting to dip. This is where you want to focus on details, discernment, editing, and then also boundaries, because this is a good time to protect your energetic space, knowing that you're going to start menstruating soon and we have higher sensitivity in this phase.
I love that. That is very, very true and very real.
Yes.
So why don't we dive in? Let's start with the menstrual phase. So I just left the menstrual phase. You will be entering the menstrual phase, hopefully sooner than later.
Thank you, please, for the love of God. I'm at that phase too, where I'm waking up with light cramping every morning. I don't know if you have that the few days before.
I luckily don't. But I imagine
it's not terrible, but it's one of those things, just like acute awareness that I'm like, come on, body, let's go. It's like a doorbell knock. That's like very, it'll start to get more incessant, like the closer I get. And I'm like, let's do it. Let's get the show on the road.
It's almost like, your period is playing ding dong ditch.
100%.
Ringing the phone.
And I'm starting to get pissed off.
Yeah, that's understandable.
I'm the angry neighbor, like coming out and being like, get off my stoop and stop fucking with me. I'm watching Matlock right now.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Okay, so the menstrual phase, we could also refer to this as the strategic reset phase. Mm-hmm. So this is a time where it's a great opportunity to focus on strategic planning, on reviewing goals, on journaling ideas, on doing solo work. So things that don't require other people, that, you know, you really want to have that extreme focus for. Quiet creative thinking and financial reviews. So during this phase, as Robin mentioned, both estrogen and progesterone are at their lowest levels of the cycle. So this creates a more inward, reflective, lower stimulation state in the brain and the body. So instead of prioritizing that outward energy, instead of doing social things, instead of, you know, planning presentations, for instance, this is a moment where it's really good to think inwardly, to really capitalize on creativity, and to also capitalize on the fact that we are so focused and can be thinking with clarity if we're doing more solo work. So I feel this way really deeply, where when I'm in my period and in my menstrual phase, I'm like, the last thing I want to be doing is like being in big meetings and having to present and having to organize a lot of people. However, if I need to stop and think about like strategically, how am I thinking about the next quarter, the next year? It's so easy for me to like zone in on that and think big picture. Yep. And again, I don't always have the ability to be able to plan for that, but I notice it's always like naturally when those ideas start to come up.
And as a reminder to everybody, and Lo, you and I love to talk about it this way, but we look at the four phases as indicative of seasons. And your menstrual phase is winter, where it's like, it's time for hibernation, which means that like, you're also like starting to think about planting things. I was remembering the time where we were guessing each other's cycles. And I guessed when you were in your menstrual phase, as opposed to luteal, because you said you were melancholy. You wanted to be solo, but you were doing a lot of forward thinking and you were journaling and you were planning for like what the next phase looks like. And I always think that like your period is such a great time to reset. It's when the moon starts over. It's when it's when a new month starts, essentially. And it's when you as a woman start a new cycle of yourself. So it's a really great time to like wipe the slate clean and be like, and have a look forward and be like, okay, what needs to get done this next month? You don't need to beat yourself up or be incredibly rigid about it, but it is a really good, like, okay, sit down with a pen and paper during this phase and just take a look at the month ahead and write out your goals, go inward. You don't need to speak to anyone, but it's a good time to like come to center a little bit.
I love that. It even, and to that point too, it's like, I'm actually thinking about this week and the past few weeks, I've just been feeling like overwhelmed and pretty stressed with work, just a lot going on and a lot going on outside of work too. And this week I was in my menstrual phase and it was such a good opportunity to be like, how do I want to go into work? How do I want to, like, how do I want to fit work into my life? Because I think I was letting it take over my entire life.
Yeah.
And so it was also this really cool, like, organic moment of reflection about, even not necessarily about the work itself, but like, how does my life and work fit together?
Yeah.
And how can I reset how I go into the workday so that I'm setting myself up for the best version of myself mentally when I approach the day.
I love that. And I know that your menstrual phase comes with so many irritations. It comes with cramping. It comes with bloating. It comes with fatigue. It comes with cravings. It comes with being spending a lot more time in bed and maybe being a little bit more irritable. But it also, I just think there's something so beautiful about having a reset every single month. Like, we get to start over and we get to have a refresh and we get to have a new day moment to kind of go into a whole new 30, 31 days or whatever it is and be like, okay, who do I want to be this month? How do I want to focus my life? And where do I want to put my energy? Like, we don't need to wait until New Year's every year to do this. We can do it every single month, which is really, really cool.
So true.
I love being a woman.
Amen.
Let's talk about as career applications, like what this could look like in different careers too. And keep in mind, you guys, as Lauren mentioned, like, we both have a long history in marketing and entertainment marketing and like creative content. So we're not lawyers or teachers. So these are high level. We would love, if anyone has thoughts about what they do best during these times who have different career paths, I would be so interested to understand that more. So please drop us a comment or let us know. But if you work in a corporate environment, quarterly planning or workflow reviews, something that you're doing that's more an inward solo activity, but it involves reflection, introspection. If you work in a creative field, outlining or conceptual development, again, all about that planning and that solo work. If you're an entrepreneur, analytics reviews, vision planning. And if you work in healthcare or teachers or moms, this is a good time to just focus on simplifying routines and protecting your energy a little bit. Okay, talk to me about follicular phase. Talk to me about where you're at and what I'm so envious of right now.
Oh, this morning I woke up and I thought, how lucky am I to be alive? The sun is shining.
I did not feel that way this morning in my luteal phase.
The sun is shining and all the possibilities are there.
And you know, you and I are just on the exact opposite ends of the spectrum, which is why it is so funny to be a woman. And we're only like 4 or 5 days apart, too.
Which is wild. I know. We were so synced a week ago, which is wild.
I know.
Wild.
I loved it. And it
but yeah, I feel like follicular phase. Again, say that 5 times fast.
Yeah, give it a shot.
It always gets me. This could also be referred to as the expansion and the innovation phase. This is a fun phase. So it's a great time to focus on brainstorming, collaboration, starting projects. Like if you've had an idea for a while and you're like, oh, I just need to like do it, like plan for the follicular phase to start doing those things, because that sort of like energy to start something new is traditionally pretty present. It's also a great time for networking, a great time for learning, and a great time for creating. So the reason for that is that, again, during this phase, your estrogen begins to steadily rise after menstruation. So your energy is increasing. You typically have more motivation, more curiosity, more verbal fluency, and more cognitive flexibility. And what I love about that is like you technically are better at communicating, but you also have the confidence to be communicating more. So
Can we just live in this phase? So many cool things that like your body is just setting you up to be one of the best versions of yourself. It's like, go get it. Go have that review conversation with your boss right now. Go to
100%. And speaking of reviews too, it's like during this phase too, your brain becomes more dopamine sensitive. And so you typically feel more optimistic. So you're more willing to have those conversations that could be challenging because you're feeling more positive about them.
I didn't know that. And I think that is so, because we hear so often of like you have a dip in serotonin, et cetera. I've never even heard of dopamine sensitivity. And that is an incredible sensitivity to have, which essentially is just a sensitivity to happy feeling, correct?
To feeling awesome.
Yes.
I'm sensitive to feeling incredible.
Smaller things. Yeah. Fucking sick.
I know, right?
Oh,
go follicular. We love her.
We do love her.
So yeah, so there's a lot that this phase lends itself to. So again, like brainstorming collaboration. So if it's working with other people, trying to find ways to bring different ideas together, that's a great opportunity for it. It's a great time for innovation, for connection, for forward momentum. And again, you just might feel mentally quicker, like the ability to feel more cognitively on, to feel more confident sharing ideas, to feel receptive to feedback. It's a really great time to just like really crush it at work when it comes to like how you're showcasing what you can do to other people.
I think too, we had a big conversation about when we did our episode on the luteal phase. One thing that we said about the luteal phase is like, don't make big decisions or have tough conversations when you are in your luteal phase, if you can avoid it. Opposite goes for follicular phase. This is a good time, like when you are more quick-witted, when you are more open to feedback and dopamine sensitive, it is a better time to have conversations that could be tougher. And it's a good time to kind of trust your gut and your intuition a little bit more.
I love that. Yeah. It's like, trust your instincts here.
Exactly. And as women, we should always do that, but we shouldn't trust them 100% when we're in our luteal phase, because it turns out most of the time you don't need to blow up your life, leave your marriage, sell your house, etc.
But in particular,
many women notice that they do feel mentally quicker, more confident sharing ideas, more receptive to feedback, and then more energized by trying something new, which is amazing. So go try that new omakase restaurant after work if you want. But rather than the reflective inward energy of menstruation, which we just came out of, the follicular phase tends to create a more expansive and then almost externally focused mindset that supports things like growth, experimentation, and this building of momentum, which feels so good. Like you feel like you're in like a ball rolling down a hill when you're in follicular, but the hill is like down into a beach that looks really beautiful and it's all very exciting.
You're
like crash and burn at the end.
Right. You're like, get me there so I can cannonball and then linger in the water,
which is
what a wonderful mindset to be in.
Yes.
So true.
Lauren, talk to us about the career applications for follicular phase.
Yeah, absolutely. So when it comes to the corporate setting, it's a great opportunity for brainstorm meetings. So again, in menstrual, it's helpful to be like brainstorming alone, but this is one where it's like, okay, in follicular, bring in other people, use this opportunity to help kickstart other people's creativity. Bring some creative energy into the space.
As I'm looking at our outline and thinking, because obviously I'm thinking about my schedule coming up for the next few weeks. And even this is where it's nice, like as two people who even have a podcast about this can always have more to learn about how to do this. I just scheduled a brainstorm on Friday and it is for the week after next on Tuesday. And I'm doing the math in my head and I will be squarely in my follicular phase. And it's a big one that I'm leading. And I'm like, that's great. And I'm wondering if had it fallen, if it was for next week, I think right now after we got off this recording, I would move it. And like that is a cool realization to realize that I'm learning here too, everybody. I'm learning alongside of you.
I love that. And yeah. It's funny, as you're speaking now too, it's reminding me I have a presentation on Tuesday.
You're gonna crush it.
A pretty big one. And
like,
now I'm like,
population, you're gonna nail that.
I'm like, oh my gosh, I have the most mental clarity and I'm the wittiest I've ever been. So strap up your boots, everybody. Get ready.
Co-sign this, green light, whatever it is, give her whatever she wants, folks.
Love it. So yeah, so the corporate space, it's great for presentations, for brainstorm meetings, for campaign ideation. And then if you work in creative, it's a perfect time for first drafts and content creation. I love this because I feel like in the creative space, sometimes, you know, we can be perfectionist and we want to make something, you know, perfect before we share it out. And it's like, share the first draft, trust your instincts. Like there's something there and welcome that feedback and that collaboration to shape something into something even better than it could have been.
Yeah.
If you're an entrepreneur, this is a perfect time to figure out your launch planning. Also to think about ways to expand, how you can use different partnerships to expand your idea beyond what it's already been. And then if you're a student, it's an awesome time to study, especially in study groups, like utilize this time to, again, bounce ideas off of one another. And then it's an awesome time to also try and learn new concepts. So maybe try a different class you haven't thought about or explore a different way of thinking that you may not have explored before, but it's a good time to give it a go.
I love that. I love that we're including students in here as well.
Truth.
Okay, so post-follicular, we move into the main character meeting phase. This is main character energy, star of the show. She can do no wrong. She's sparkly. She's magnetic. She's sexy. We don't necessarily want to be sexy in the workplace, but that should be, that's still on the table. It is ovulation. We should strike that from the record.
I honestly loved it. Might clip it.
Oh man. So ovulation, this is where our estrogen is at its peak. This is honestly the best that we're going to feel all month. It's also the most magnetic, confident, communicative we're going to be all month. So if you thought you felt good in your follicular phase, just give yourself the utmost spotlight, the 2 to 3 days that you're ovulating. Try to plan every single important presentation into this tiny little window. Probably impossible, but a good thing to aspire to. Mm-hmm. This is the best time for presentations, for networking, for interviews. If you're conducting an interview when you are ovulating, you are going to crush it.
You'll get the job.
Guaranteed. One should be so lucky to have that go on. I honestly. And leadership meetings, this is a great time to be on stage. This is a great time to be speaking to people. This is a great time to be inspiring other people. You just feel confident and communicative. Also, negotiations. This is a really, really good time to kind of put your money where your mouth is and have tough conversations and feel very confident that you'll come out on the right side of it. And then talking about like why it is we feel so good in this phase during ovulation, like I mentioned, estrogen reaches its peak and testosterone also rises. Mm-hmm. So that creates the highest levels of confidence, charisma, energy, motivation, and also social fluency of the entire cycle. We talked a lot in our luteal episode about how you have social paranoia and you misread social cues at that time because of the hormonal fluctuation. This is the opposite. So this hormonal combination can increase verbal communication skills, quick thinking, decisiveness, magnetism, and comfort being seen or evaluated by others. And that is such a beautiful thing. So it's like you have this safe space to be in the spotlight.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, the idea too of like, this is a time where you feel good fighting for yourself.
Yes.
So negotiations, like this is a time to like ask for a raise because you feel confident that you deserve it, which you do. But then also you trust yourself to be able to like really fight for it. I think what's cool is a lot of women, they'll naturally feel more outgoing, more persuasive, more expressive, and more energized by connection during this phase. So that's why presentations, networking, interviews, leadership meetings, and negotiations will feel more natural and successful because the ability to have to, you have to switch your social brain into a lot of different phases when you're doing a lot of these activities, and you're really set up for success in this phase.
And the brain during this phase too, which I find is super interesting, is more externally oriented when you're ovulating. So it makes it easier to command attention, articulate ideas clearly, and build rapport quickly. So if you're ever feeling like you're like witty, you're reading the cues, you're joking back and forth, you just have really good banter, whether it's professional or personal, you're ovulating.
That's a really cool perspective. Sorry, yeah. I like the idea of like, this is a good phase to build rapport. I love the idea of if you're going to be intentional about it, this is a good time to.
Exactly. Like, so it's a great time to like have a networking drink or go meet someone that you potentially haven't met yet. If you're meeting with investors, that kind of thing. Or if you're trying to do informational interviews to gather information about a potential new career path. But as we're talking about this in comparison to the follicular phase, because they often are so similar, one thing to keep in mind that rather than the exploratory energy of the follicular phase, whereas like you're starting the momentum, you're ready to get out there and start to feel fresh and anew, and you want to create and brainstorm, ovulation tends to amplify like the sheer presence, performance, influence, and interpersonal confidence. Mm. So it's a really great 1-2 punch. If you've got some great things going on in the month or that you can plan from your follicular phase into your ovulatory phase, like you're really golden.
Love that. Yeah. So like when it comes to career and actually applying it to what your work looks like, it's an awesome time for presentations. It's an awesome time for to ask for a raise. If you need to negotiate anything, like now is the time to do it. If you work in the creative phase, it's a great time to actually take an idea and put it to action. For entrepreneurs, investor meetings.
Oh, hell yeah.
This is a good time. Or like board meetings. This is a good time. Sales calls.
Get your funding, honey.
Get that money. This is really, again, an opportunity where you are just on your game. Yep. And so do the things that require your most game.
Ugh. I want to live in this phase too. I'm thinking about, it's so funny doing this when I'm deep in my luteal phase. I'm just longing for these feelings.
Yeah.
Like, damn, where is she? Speaking of the luteal phase, let's talk about her. No, as you guys know, I've talked about this before. I actually have deep respect and admiration for the luteal phase because it allows us, knowing what it is and how it affects our bodies, allows us, me, to give myself grace for why I feel the way I do. So 10 years ago when I didn't know about cycle syncing, I would have just thought that I was like lazy and sad this week for no reason. And now that I'm so in tune with this, I'm like, okay, I know that I have very low estrogen right now. I know that I need more rest. It's okay. This isn't me as a person. This is just a cycle right now. But this, as we talked about last time, this is kind of our editor-in-chief phase when you are in your luteal phase. So it's best work for, shocker, editing, but revising, budgeting, organization, analytics, project completion, tying up loose ends. And a lot of this, similar to your menstrual phase, many women feel better doing things solo and being less social when they are in their luteal phase. So these are tasks that you can accomplish on a smaller scale of social interaction, which I think is pretty important.
Yeah, it's a great call. And the reason why is because during the luteal phase, our progesterone rises after ovulation while estrogen fluctuates. And so shifting the body and brain away from outward performance towards that internal focus is typically what's happening. So we're focusing more on discernment, on detail orientation and completion, which is why, like what you just mentioned, finishing projects, this is a perfect time to be able to do that. Many women also noticed that we also notice increased sensitivity when it comes to inefficiencies, unfinished tasks, overstimulation, things feeling off. And it typically makes this phase highly productive for refining and problem solving. I'm smiling because this is so real.
So real. And I didn't realize like that there was an acute way to describe what happens to me during this phase. But as someone who's been going through this like the past few days, planning 2 trips, wedding planning the, like working on this podcast and a full-time job. I am just that meme of that cat banging on its keyboard all week this week. Harry's like, can you stop sending me 16 emails from the other room?
I'm like, I can't.
No, all of these tasks are left unfinished and that gives me severe anxiety. That's crazy.
Yeah. This honestly like is blowing my mind too because the sensitivity to inefficiencies, I'm always just noticing the things that aren't working well. I'm noticing like the processes that don't work. I'm noticing the inefficiencies. And like, as a person who loves to be efficient, it's always during this phase where I'm like, what's going on? Why can't we figure this thing out? And so it's so funny, like the sensitivity to that makes so much sense.
Your brain itself is becoming more analytical, critical, and detail focused during this time. And the analytical meets critical is really, really tough. For ourselves, for people that we might be working with, like, and for the safety and sanctity of our lives. So again, don't make big decisions during this time. Instead, focus on editing, revising, good time for budgeting, organization, anything analytical or anything focused on project completion. Because rather than being driven by like novelty or visibility, like the ovulation phase, the luteal phase tends to favor structure, organization, and this act of tying up loose ends. So this is why a lot of women naturally feel more motivated to like clean up systems, finalize decisions, catch mistakes. We're always looking for mistakes. We're looking for social cues, et cetera, mm-hmm. and kind of like create order before the cycle resets again with menstruation. I mean, this is luteal phase, as we mentioned, is kind of the fall of the hormonal cycle in terms of the season. So it's when we are like taking stock of all of our resources and gathering them, and we're preparing and we're hibernating. It is the time to like prepare, restore, and ready yourself for a new season.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. Just the sense of we are naturally wired to want to get everything in order so that when we hit menstrual, we're set up for success.
Yeah.
Like we want to tie up our loose ends. We want to tie up those conversations so that when we're in menstrual and we need to focus our energy on our bodies and then doing the inward work, we don't have to worry about this thing over here that maybe wasn't completed or maybe hasn't been given the attention that it needs. It's something about how it's so natural.
Which I think is so cool. And again, like, this is why we love this shit. This is why I love learning about this. I find like the more I dig into everything around like our hormonal cycles, how vast and broad it is, the amount of aspects and elements of our life that this affects, how many different ways we can just like tweak things that we do to better optimize our lives. And then also like better optimize being in sync with our bodies in that way. Mm. Like, it's just so beautiful. It's like that right now I have that meme of like, where it's like, oh wow, I love being a woman. Like I really deeply feel that. And this like only further amplifies that feeling.
So good.
Also, as we're talking about this, I'm like going, like running through a list in my head, shocker, as someone who is analytical in their luteal phase. I'm like, what else do I need to tie up? I need to transfer my insurance from that car to this car. I need to da 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 da. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get off of this call and just like be right back in my computer.
Yeah, it's actually funny. Now I'm realizing, and I've never thought about this until right now. Like once a month, I like clear my inbox.
Oh.
My personal inbox. Because my personal inbox just gets like crazy. I get like too much spam. I need to like figure out how to use AI to triage. Yeah. And so I'm like usually behind on personal emails, and it's like once a month I'll like go through everything organized. And it's during my luteal phase. I never thought about that, but it makes like that's actually so cool.
Have you heard about what some women are doing, which I think is so cool, that they're having one admin night a month where it's when you get together with your friends and rather than like you hanging out and watch a movie, everyone like everyone brings their computers, brings their planners and their to-dos and whatnot, and they just all sit together for a night, a couple hours, maybe a glass of wine, maybe like Sex and the City on in the background, and they do all of the tasks that they've been putting off for the past month, but they do it together. So it's like you have this social time to do it, but you also have dedicated focus time to plan your doctor's appointments, to submit your super bills for your therapy appointments. I'm speaking to myself right now as a reminder to do that. Like booking that flight and cleaning up your inbox. And I just think that's such a cool thing. I've been trying to get one on the books with some of my girlfriends, and it looks like I need to plan it during my luteal phase.
That's such a good idea.
Isn't it such a good idea? I saw that on TikTok a few months ago, and I was like, oh, that's incredible.
Love that.
Yeah.
Love that. That's a good, like, end phase event idea.
That is.
Yeah.
Okay. So when we're talking about career applications for like how you should show up in different ways in the workforce in your luteal phase, if you work in corporate, this is a good time for budgeting, for workflow cleanup, for managing that inbox, marking it to zero, like checking off the last things on your to-do list. This is when I do all of my like Anaplan billing stuff that I've put off for the month, where I submit my invoices, I go through my budget and clear out my spreadsheet. It is the bane of my existence, but it feels so good to get it done. And it's something I don't need to talk to anyone else about.
Yeah.
It's just like me focused on my computer.
You saying the word Anaplan.
Does it make your eye twitch?
I literally felt my body do this.
Yep. I hate it so much. I'm so bad with math, finances, billing. It's like a joke on my team that it's like, oh, Robin has a finance meeting. She's going to come out palm sweaty, shaking. Like it is. I've never cried harder at work. Yeah, and I cry at work, okay, everybody? I'm a human being. There's nothing wrong with that.
That's what the pods are for. Right?
Exactly. Exactly. That is what the pods are for. I've never cried harder at work than when trying to figure out a budget mistake that I just could not wrap my head around.
Oh, that's real. That's real. Yeah.
But if you don't work in corporate and you work in creative and you're a lucky person, revising scripts, if that's something that you might work in, like polishing up deliverables, it's really just fine tuning at this stage. That's really fun and important. If you're an entrepreneur, tightening up systems, reviewing expenses. Again, like budget work is a really easy thing to do during this phase that doesn't require external social work and your brain can work really well with. And if you work in something like the service industry, protecting boundaries as much as we can do that. Don't pick up an extra double shift if you don't have to at this point. And prioritize like rest and recovery. This isn't the time to be like really pushing yourself to get the highest amount of gross tips or whatever it may be, or like an extra, pick up an extra shift here and there. Like this is a time to kind of like focus on yourself and reset and get ready to kill it in the next week or so.
That's great. That's great. And I know we talked about at the very beginning how this is like one of the harder ones to plan for, just because not many of us are fully in control of what our schedules and work life looks like. But let's talk about some of like the practical ways that we can try to think about cycle syncing when it comes to work. I think the first one that we always talk about is just being aware. So just being aware of where we are in our cycle to help create more grace. So like if you have a review and you're feeling extra sensitive about it, but then noticing that you're in luteal, that can help create some grace for understanding how that went. So just the idea of, again, being aware of what our bodies are doing, I think is one of the strongest ways to help think about how we can be applying different practical tips to make our lives feel better when it comes to the workplace. And then also just tracking patterns, as we've talked about, like just being aware of how am I feeling during certain phases. So do I feel really good doing a brainstorm during this time? Does it feel like meetings are really hard if I'm on day 31 of my cycle? Exactly. So just like tracking patterns and creating that awareness, doing that for a few months is already cycle syncing and already setting you up for success.
What I will say too is I'm a very visual person, and the iCal or Google Cal has different color coordinations for what you can like place on as an event or as a week-long thing. I do a different color for each of my phases during the month. So it's like light pink menstruation, orange follicular, bright yellow ovulation, blue for luteal, and just seeing that strip of color along the Google Cal as like a high level 30,000 foot visualization for what the month ahead looks like, and then noticing what I have on my calendar during those color coordinated chunks is really, really helpful. Because even if this comes to social stuff too, if I notice I've planned 3 dinners out when I'm in my blue luteal phase, I know I need to move those to another section of the month, another color that is not blue and low and inward. And the same thing goes for, I think, taking a look at your work calendar. Even as Lauren and I were just talking here, me realizing and noticing that I have this brainstorm, it's going to land right when I'm in that orange yellow of follicular and ovulation. Like, that's incredible. But if you can look at the calendar the month ahead from a 30,000 foot view in a visual way that your brain recognizes and makes it a little bit easier to potentially shift things around, that's something that people can try.
Love that so much. I want to do that now. That's a really good, such a good idea. Just like, even just training your brain to like see a certain color and sort of knowing what to expect. I think that's super, super
smart. Exactly. And people can pick different colors that like represent them too. Like for instance, like purple represents royalty. Maybe you want to use that for ovulation or green represents like money. And that's when you're best when you want to negotiate. That could be an ovulation color too. A deep dark maroon for just like kind of like this like intensity could represent luteal or menstruation. Anyway, I don't need to talk you through colors, but there's a lot of different options.
No, I love that. Well, and as you're talking too, it's making me think about like how we can also be utilizing AI to help with this. Like there's so many calendar integrations, like whether it's like with Claude or Gemini, like I use Claude to like look at my calendar all the time and be like, hey,
to more about how you use it, because I haven't gotten into the calendar side of it. And the way that you've used it is so smart. And I need to pick your beautiful little brain about it.
We should chat, but it's really cool. And like, it can basically like triage your meetings for you. So that, I don't know, there could be something interesting about like, how can we utilize like even those LLMs to basically help be like, okay, hey, like, give us a heads up on meetings during certain phases.
Oh, that's really, really smart.
Just to prep us. You know what I mean?
More to come on that as Lauren and I dig into that too.
Yeah, yeah.
And one thing to keep in mind, like the whole umbrella around this conversation, is that the modern workplace was built around linear productivity and patriarchy, but women often experience cyclical productivity. And that is something that is not wrong or bad. It is just something to pay attention to, because we do not, and we are not meant to feel identical every day. So your cycle may naturally move you through restoration, expansion, visibility, and refinement, and every different phase contains different strengths. So don't see this as a bad thing. And again, as Lauren kicked off at the top of the episode, this is not women are less capable or women shouldn't work during their menstrual phase. This is just how can we pay attention to what's going on in our bodies and thus our brains during these different phases to be the best version of ourselves.
Yes, it's like the reminder that we have all of these superpowers. So how can we be aware and plan our days so that we can use our superpower when it's handy and ready for us? What a cool way to look at the world.
And maybe the best version of our power actually lives in learning how to work with our cycles instead of against them. Food for thought, folks.
Love it.
I loved this one. This one, like walking away, like I, even as you and I who built this outline, I'm walking away with like a to-do list of what I need to kind of gut check and how I need to take a look at the next few weeks for me.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think this is one, like cycle syncing for work has always felt like, well, I can't do that because I have no control over my work schedule. I've always kind of, to be honest, like pushed it off.
Yes.
But I think this, I'm feeling really empowered on what are the small things that I can do to help set myself up for success. And instead of just saying I can't, like find the areas where I can and really see how we can optimize.
And so, again, it's what you and I talk about all the time. It's start small and find a little way, find a micro way to integrate this into your life, or find a way to just test it and see if this is helpful. Even if it is just color coding your calendar, that's something that anyone can do, you know? So even if awareness is the first step, that's incredible.
Amen.
Amen. You guys, thank you so much for tuning in and listening to another episode of In Phase, the Cycle Syncing Podcast. We are on YouTube. Please like, comment, subscribe. It really does wonders for us in our reach. We are also on all social at In Phase Pod. And if you could please like, comment, subscribe on Spotify, Apple, wherever you listen to your podcasts, that also does wonders for us as we're trying to grow this bad boy into a cultural phenomenon.
Yes, yes. And give us a rating too. That also helps. But thanks for hanging out with us. We're super grateful for your time. Attention is one of the greatest gifts. So appreciate you being here.
I love it when you always say that. It is true. And it is so beautiful. We really do appreciate your attention. It's so fun hearing from people who listen to the episodes week after week and find something either funny or useful or helpful in their lives. So that means a lot to us. I am at Robin Dibovic on all of my socials if anyone wants to connect with me there.
And you can find me at Lauren Cortizo. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Later. Thanks for listening to In Phase, the Cycle Syncing Podcast. You can follow us on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube at In Phase Pod. Follow host Lauren Cortizo at Lauren Cortizo and Robin Dibovic at Robin Dibovic. Thank you to our producer and social media manager, Sydney Rojas. And be sure to follow, subscribe, and give us a rating wherever you listen to your podcasts.